Radio Prague News.
The EU Court of Auditors has accused Czech officials of systematically fixing the results of audits on the use of EU funds. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas held a private meeting with Pope Benedict XVI in the Vatican on Friday, and the Senate has backed two proposals to change legislation regarding MP immunity. The EU Court of Auditors has accused Czech officials of systematically fixing the results of audits on the use of EU funds. Czech auditors allegedly decreased the number of errors in their annual audit reports to the 2% limit or lower, thus masking nearly 40% of mistakes. The finance ministry, however, has rejected these claims, which first appeared in the website Aktualnie.cz. Moreover, they say there is no thought of the EU cutting its subsidies on the basis of what is only a preliminary finding. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas held a private meeting with Pope Benedict XVI in the Vatican on Friday. The visit was meant to mark the start of 1 year until the 1150th anniversary of the arrival of Christian missionaries Cyril and Methodius in Great Moravia. Mr. Nečas offered the pontiff a rare copy of the illustrated Strahov Evangeliary from the 9th century. Earlier in the day, Mr. Nečas laid flowers at the tomb of Czech Cardinal Josef Beran, who died in exile in Rome in 1969, and paid homage to Czech patron Saint Wenceslaus at his altar in St. Peter's Basilica. Celebrations for Cyril and Methodius include dozens of events culminating in July 2013 at the Velehrad pilgrimage site in South Moravia. Benedict XVI has been invited to attend the celebrations, but his visit has not yet been confirmed. The Upper House of Parliament has backed two proposals to change legislation regarding MP immunity. Under the first, which was drafted by opposition Social Democrats, Topo 9 and the Christian Democrats, MPs could be criminally prosecuted even while they are serving as deputies and without being stripped of their immunity or prior approval from the Chairman of Parliament. The Civic Democrats have criticized this proposal as legally faulty. Under their draft, MP immunity would be restricted significantly and only apply to acts of speech and voting in Parliament. Deputy Leader of the Social Democrats, Jiří Dienstbier, has labeled this proposal absurd. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions are expected to be clear to partly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers and daytime highs in the low 20s Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Sarah Barivka. Coming up in today's program, a man who was in jail for scribbling on political campaigning posters has been released from prison. We have all the latest business news, and then in the arts, we speak to the owner of the Hunt Kastner Artworks Gallery here in Prague. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. A former public transport worker found guilty of defacing public property was released from prison on Thursday, 67 days short of his 100 days sentence. The justice minister had filed a complaint in the man's favor in the hope that the court would determine once and for all whether defacing a campaign poster constitutes a crime or just a misdemeanor. His release may only be temporary, pending the decision. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Roman Smetana got out of jail on Thursday after 33 days, the sentence in his controversial case temporarily quashed by the country's Supreme Court. The former bus driver famously vandalized some 30 campaign posters on bus billboards back in 2010, adding bugs' antennae to politicians' heads, as well as adding derogatory comments. The former transport employee was ordered to pay a fine and damages, but while he covered the damage to the property, he refused to pay the fine and also rejected home detention, eventually landing him 100 days in jail. Originally, he was to have begun his sentence in March, but only gave himself up to the police on April 21st, after causing something of a sensation at an anti-government rally. He then began serving his time. Upon his early release on Thursday, he was calm, but also clearly happy. Here's what he had to say.
Slyšel jsem to vlastně v rádiu o půl jedné.
I first heard about it on the radio at 12:30. I think I managed fairly well. Prison is an interesting facility. Now I'm most looking forward to the walk home. Not surprisingly, Roman Smetana's case throughout has attracted a good deal of attention, as well as criticism. The Czech branch of human rights watchdog, the Helsinki Commission for Human Rights, slammed the sentence, saying it was disproportionate to the crime, and the public too expressed solidarity with the convicted party. As for Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, he put forward the complaint, making clear one of the reasons was to elicit a judicial precedent, a Supreme Court ruling that will decide whether drawing graffiti on an election poster represents a crime or rather a minor offense.
I have to say that this is a very controversial case. Even at the Justice Ministry, debate between lawyers over the complaint was very heated. The thing is that Mr. Smetana did deface public property, but his act was different than when someone vandalizes a car, a cottage, or other property. He was expressing his political opinion, which is his right.
The minister is also of the opinion that jail time handed down in the original ruling by the regional court is disproportionate to the offense. Now the Supreme Court can begin looking into the original decision. There is one caveat. The court spokesman has stressed that the temporary lifting of jail time for Mr. Smetana should in no way be taken as any indication of how the court will eventually decide. The guilty party could still have to complete the remainder of his sentence.
Thanks for that story, Jan Wellinger. And next up, Jan Richter joins me here in the studio with the latest business news.
The Czech government this week approved a series of austerity measures for the years 2013 and 2014 to keep the deficit of the state budget below 3% of the GDP. The government plans to raise the two VAT rates by 1 percentage point to 15 and 20% respectively. It also aims to slow down the growth of pensions, which will only increase by a third of the inflation rate and a third of salaries growth. The cabinet wants to introduce a 7% tax on salaries higher than 100,000 crowns and to cancel a ceiling on health insurance payments. In 2014, the income tax should also increase from 19 to 20%.
The Czech Republic faces serious challenges securing EU funding, the news website aktualne.cz reported on Friday, quoting a review by the European Court of Auditors. The EU body reportedly found a significant risk that the Czech Finance Ministry systematically downplays problems with EU programs. For example, the auditors discovered that 41% of funds allocated to traffic infrastructure were used in breach of EU legislation in 2011, whereas the Czech Finance Ministry's report says only 1.8% of the funds were used problematically. If confirmed, this could have serious consequences on EU funding for the Czech Republic. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said should all payments from the EU be put on hold, the country's budget deficit would jump to 6% of GDP.
Speaking at an EU summit in Brussels on Wednesday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said the Czech government was working together with the Czech Central Bank to prepare for a possible Greek exit from the Eurozone. Mr. Nečas refused to specify the scenario, but said that if Greece leaves the euro area, the shockwave would certainly hit the Czech Republic and could lead to a decrease of credit for the business sector or even a freeze on the interbank lending market. The Czech Prime Minister also said that the Greek exit is plausible and, in his personal opinion, the only possibility. However, as a non-member state of the Eurozone, the Czech government should not offer its opinion on the matter, Mr. Nečas added.
The largest Czech betting firm Tipsport has acquired the third biggest player on the market, Chance, the Forbes magazine reported this week. Financial details of the transaction were not revealed. The two companies' combined share of the fixed odds betting market will exceed 50%. The second biggest firm, Fortuna, has around one-third of the market. The deal is yet to be approved by the country's anti-monopoly authority.
The number of cigarettes sold in the Czech Republic in the first quarter of this year decreased by 2.9% to some 4.6 billion cigarettes, according to estimates by the country's leading producer, Philip Morris. However, the firm's receipts rose by 16% to 2.9 billion crowns due to higher prices and higher exports. Philip Morris also increased its market share by 2.3% to just over 51%. A further decrease in cigarette consumption might come with a smoking ban in public spaces, which Czech legislators have so far resisted. But a new poll by Charles University and the Ipsos Tambor agency shows that 78% of Czechs are now in favor of the ban, compared to some 35% 5 years ago. The daily Hospodarské noviny reported that the Czech Health Ministry was working on new legislation that should introduce the ban after several failed attempts.
And up to 70% of Czech managers don't trust what job applicants say about themselves in their CVs, according to a survey by the firm HelliView Research, the weekly Econom reported this week. The study focused on 11 countries, including the Czech Republic, which topped the list, followed by Austria. The study found that Czechs most frequently lie about their work experience and increasingly about their hobbies, where they often adjust reality to the expected taste of those who will decide whether or not they will be hired. The latest business news with Jan Richter, and I'm afraid that was all the business news we have time for today. And now it's time for our arts with Ian Willoughby.
The sound of sawing at Hunt Kastner Artworks in Prague 7, where preparations are currently underway for a new show by the Czech conceptual artist Eva Kotyatkova. The private gallery is owned and run by Camille Hunt, who is Canadian, and Katja Kastner, who's from the US, though her mother is Czech. The two represent 10 Czech artists, among them Kotyatkova, Josef Bolf, and Daniel Pitín. This week I stopped by to talk to the owners about their work, both curating shows and helping their artists find buyers overseas. I first asked Camille Hunt what had led her and Katja Kastner to open the gallery in the first place.
What led us to open the gallery here is that there are few galleries representing artists working on that level. So there are a lot of art spaces, non-profit, artist-run spaces, but very few that are working, representing artists, showing them abroad. That's why we decided to open a small private gallery.
What's the experience been like so far? You've been open for 4 years, Katja.
Actually, surprisingly good. Better than expected. I think when we started the gallery, there's not really that much commercial art galleries here in Prague, and there's not really a big market for the kind of art that we're showing, which is pretty young and pretty progressive. Actually, our expectations in terms of sales and that sort of thing wasn't that high, and we've been really very pleasantly surprised.
How do you select the artists you'd like to work with, Katja?
Actually, that's a very difficult decision. It's a question we get a lot, and people always want to know where we find the artists. And in fact, Camille and I have been living here since 1991 and been working in the arts field, so we know the artists, and we've known them for a long time, and it's something that you spend a lot of time watching their work over a period, but choosing the artist is always difficult because, in particular, we represent now 10 artists, and it's sort of a limit about how much artists that we can really give a lot of time to. And so we decided that we would focus on the younger generation because they're the ones who are in need of it most.
From your perspectives as foreigners, how would you regard the contemporary Czech art scene?
I think the artists are strong, but the infrastructure is quite weak still. So that's we're hoping to help change that in our small way. So you know, I'm speaking of like the museums, you know, state institutions and city institutions. So we'd like to see those improve and get stronger, and it would help us, and generally everybody would benefit, the artists, the scene. Gallerists, so we have to work in concert. So the scene, the artists are good, but the infrastructure is it's quite weak. I mean, the support.
Camille's right. I think that it's just not developed at a platform here, and it's what I said earlier, and particular, for instance, like the market for contemporary art was very weak or non-existent. In fact, we used to laugh when we opened the gallery. And I had friends in New York who were asking me, and they said, well, you're opening a gallery in Prague, what's the competition like? And I laughed and I said, well, we don't really have any competition. There's no market. And actually, that's changed over the past 4 years. And we'd like to see a lot more galleries open like us. And I think the artists really need it, because artists need to sell. They need to be able to fund their work and to develop their work. And so we'd be really happy to see more commercial galleries. And we'd really happy to see, for instance, there to build up, for instance, like a gallery district like you find in Berlin or you find in Paris or you find in where there's more galleries that are working with artists.
Would you have any idea how Prague compares to other former Eastern Bloc capitals, like, for example, Warsaw or further eastwards?
For the scene, I mean, it doesn't compare favorably to Warsaw, for example, but it's hard to compare because Poland's a much bigger country. But the scene there is much more active. There are more young galleries, private galleries. Polish curators are more active internationally, so they get the Polish artists out there. So it doesn't compare that favorably. And also the Polish market for contemporary art is much more developed. There are many more local collectors of contemporary art, which is not is the case here so much. But compared to, for example, Hungary, or it's probably about this, maybe on the same level. It's, you know, I'm speaking gross generalizations, but yeah.
Tell me about the international aspect of your business and how it works in practical terms, selling Czech artists' work abroad.
Well, the international part of our business is actually quite important. And in fact, from the beginning, the majority of our collectors were from abroad. They were serious collectors who have serious collections, who really think about it and add to their collection-specific pieces from. And they're interested in the. I mean, that was a great thing for us, I think, and it was really positive for us to see that people were interested in not just us, but outside. They're interested in the work from, you know, I mean, a purely artistic perspective. They weren't just collecting Czech artists or artists that they knew. This was artists who they didn't know, and they saw their work and they saw the quality of it. And so I said that's been really important for us. And as Camille also said, it's, in terms of like expanding the platform for the Czech artists, this is really important. It's getting them more their work seen outside of this very small sort of centralized Prague circle. So that's been very important. And we've been for that we go to the art fairs. We go to the big art fairs, really well known places like in Basel, or in London, or in the U.S. And as I said, so that's an important part of what we do, is bringing the artist's work outside of and introducing it to new people. And it's not just collectors, it's also curators and museum directors and people who are working in the arts on an international level.
What kind of reception has the work of the artists you represent met abroad?
They've been met with great enthusiasm, so we're very happy about that. So, and I would say, again, coming back to your question about the art scene here, the artists are as strong as anywhere else. It's just they're not, when I speak of weakness, it means they're not represented internationally. So when we do show them internationally, I mean, the reception is what it should be, because the artist's work is good.
Eva Kotyatkova, one of Hunt Kastner Artworks' artists, was the recipient of the prestigious Jindřich Kalopecký Prize for Young Czech Artist of the Year in 2007, and is one of the hottest conceptual artists of her generation. Her new show, Controlled Memory Loss, opens at the gallery next Wednesday. Camille Hunt told me it'll be very interesting, but didn't want to give away too much about what it will entail.
It's continuing her exploration of familiar social structures like the family and the home, and looking at those limitations and how they define us and how we negotiate these things. So, and it'll be consist of video and installation work, drawings, and I think it'll be very interesting work. New work she's working on right now. You might be able to hear the machines in the background sawing and drilling.
And tell us how your relationship with her works, how it's developed.
Well, yeah, Eva is, I guess you could say, one of our up-and-coming artists. I like to think actually a lot of ours are up-and-coming artists. With our other artists, I said we represent 10 artists. We actually work with them very closely over long term. And that's the important thing that I think we're doing in the Czech Republic, which is maybe new for other galleries here. It's not just one show and then thank you very much and then on to the next person. So we work with people really over the long term. So with Eva, we're giving the show here, and then we're actually going to show her in Basel a solo project in June, which is a continuation of this one. It's a very close relationship with the artists that we represent. We work with them over a long period of time on exhibitions here, exhibitions abroad, and their work in general.
This Arts About the Hunt-Kastner Gallery here in Prague was brought to you by Ian Willoughby, and this episode was first broadcast in August 2010. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our Czech language learning series.
Ahoy!
Hello, and welcome back to ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's special language program that unravels the mysteries of the Czech language. I am Heather Baun, and I am joined by
Martin Mikule.
In this program, we are looking at informal ways of saying goodbye in Czech. Czech is a peculiar language. In many cases, words used for greetings are also used for farewells, but not necessarily vice versa. You may have encountered this if you have Czech friends, and they waved goodbye and said hi. When Czechs greet their friends,
pozdravovat,
they say
ahoj,
and when they bid farewell,
rozloučit se,
they say
ahoj
as well. If there are any fans of Captain Hook out there, feel free to break a smile. Czechs do say
ahoj,
just like sailors. The origin of
ahoj
in Czech is attributed to sailors, even though the Czech Republic is a landlocked country, despite Shakespeare's attempt at convincing the world otherwise. But I have yet to come across seafaring Czechs with large black hats and parrots as shoulder ornaments in history books. There are many words for saying hi or bye in Czech.
Ahoj.
Little hi or little bye.
Ahojky. Ciao.
Just like the Italian, but written differently.
Nazdar.
Which means more or less the same, but to some sounds a bit more old-fashioned or even patriotic. It also has other variants such as
Nazdarek
and
Nazdarky
or
Zdar,
a shortened form which tends to be more popular in Moravia. Literally, it means may you have fortune. Czechs often double up on their greetings, whether saying hello or goodbye. The shorter greetings are often repeated as a single greeting, such as
Ahoj, ahoj
or
Ciao, ciao.
But on top of that, Czechs often say goodbye a number of times and in different ways, so it isn't uncommon to hear something like this in one exchange.
Ahoj, ahoj.
Ciao, ciao.
Zdar.
Měj se,
ahoj.
There are some words that are only used for goodbye. One of my personal favorites is
Papa,
which comes from baby talk, though it is widely used among adults, when they are talking to kids, of course, but also among girlfriends, and though a guy would rarely say it to his mate, he will probably say it to his girlfriend. People also say
Zatím.
See you soon.
Zatím.
Is usually accompanied by another word, most frequently,
ahoj.
So it sounds like this.
Zatím ahoj.
See you soon. Bye. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, take care.
Mějte se. Ahoj, ahoj.
Ciao, ciao. Ciao.
ABC of Czech, they're wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. And of course, we would like to hear from you either via email to english@radio.cz, or you can find us on Facebook where we have a profile under the username of Radio Prague. And there you can share your views either by commenting on our statuses or by writing on our wall. We very much like to hear from you on Facebook. And of course, you can also find us on Twitter. And if all of that is too modern for you and you prefer the good old-fashioned letter, then of course you can write us by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. Also, everything you've heard on the show today and in the past is on our website radio.cz. There you can really discover everything we've ever done in audio and text form. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Barufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.